Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody. Find two people who have never been on the show before. So I guess we'll start with Michi Hazen. How are you doing, Michi?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jonathan? Good to see you again.
I'm doing fantastic. And there we go. We got Madeline Deering here. How are you doing, Madeline?
Good. I'd ask how you're doing, but she just asked you, so.
Well, maybe my answer will change. I don't
know. How are you doing?
Oh, it's good. I'm doing good.
Good.
All right. First of all, I want to let you guys know that we watched a little movie called Fire City End of Days. And before we get into all of that, here is some mood music. All right, and we are back. So first of all, okay, you guys had never even probably heard of this movie. I hadn't until I was like looking up horror films on Tubi, and I was just like, I saw like what looked like a Hellboy poster, and I said, that looks cool. And so I decided that was the one that I was gonna do. I decided that this was, I started watching it one day and I was like, this is okay, you know? But then I was like, you know what? I'll save it for Indie Film Cafe and do it. And maybe it'll get better, you know? And I don't know. I guess we'll talk about that. Does anybody, okay. First of all, can anybody sum up the story? One of you guys, any one of you guys want to actually sum up what you guys watched? Pick somebody.
Maddie,
do you want to?
You want to try?
Guess I'll try. I don't know. The story's definitely different. There's like, what, these demons in this like apartment building, and humans think they look normal, and like this demon has a named Vine, which is a cool ass name.
Adam Vine. And it's not, when I saw it on the captions, they called him Adam. But if you actually,
I didn't even realize Adam was his name. I thought it was just Vine.
Oh, no, it's Adam.
Like Sarah. I must have missed that.
No, they did mention Adam like once or twice, but it was mostly Vine.
It was mostly Vine. Yeah. The demons definitely called him like, a few of the demons call them Vine for sure. What is it? The one guy, the black guy called him Mr. Vine a lot.
Mr. Vine.
I was like, that's kind of cool. But no, it's not. Andre. Oh my God. I love that guy. We'll talk about him in a little bit, but keep going. You're doing great.
So yeah, Vine is trying to rescue this little girl. And the other demons think he favors the humans more than the demons, and it's causing this like whole rift and you know, the time continuum or whatever. And
All right.
That's about it.
I mean, there's a little bit more, so I'll go into a little bit more. So basically, what's going on is these demons, they live off of not grief. I thought it was grief, but it's like
misery.
Yeah,
they feed off of that. That's how they survive. And and they pick this, I guess, apartment complex because it's just withered with, you know, like littered with misery. Like everybody
kind of like my apartment like that. Building.
Really,
I like the way you said that. It withered.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, maybe like your complex has demons in it, you know, that
probably
that's surviving off of your shit. I don't know. but it like, that's what it is. It's basically these demons who live in this place, this complex. They are living off of misery. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, misery's gone. Like everybody's happy. And that was the most jarring. I'm sorry. Like, there was no like usually you get like a white light or something, you know, there's some kind of thing, but like all of a sudden, like you know, Andre is a happy-go-lucky guy and not raping 11-year-old girl. There's, you know, he's got a
well, job. The mother doesn't even give a shit that he tried to rape their little girl. It's just like, oh, it's okay.
I don't, well, did she really, I mean, I guess she knew, sort of.
Vine mentions it, and when they're at the dinner table, well, maybe they didn't mention, I thought he did, but either way, she was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, like, well, when the mother went and found her in the basement with Vine and Andre, she was like, "Oh, so you want to run away and get all these things and everything? Well, it didn't happen to me, so it's not going to happen to you, you know, that type of thing." So it's like, dude, just go grab another bottle and go pass out, please. give one to the kid or something.
I don't know that kid. She was supposed to be 11 years resilient. Old. I was pretty sure she was older than that, you know, older than 11. She
looks at least 15, 16, at least.
Yeah, because I've seen pictures of what she looks like today, and this is like 6 years later, you know, and she definitely does not like look like a little girl. Like, she would look like a 16-year-old girl today if she were like 11, you know, or a 17-year-old mm-hmm. girl. She definitely looked way older than that. So, but you know, whatever. She was this. I mean, she did a good job. I like. Well, we'll get into the acting in a little bit. We're still on the story, or the quote unquote story. Because I mean, look, I get what they were doing. You know, they're doing exactly sort of what I'm sort of doing, which is creating your own like little universe and everything. So I get it. That's why I picked it, because I was like, I get what they're doing from this. You know, they're kind of, but the problem is, I feel like, you know how, let's take Marvel, for instance, right? Marvel was smart and they did Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
Iron Man explained so much of that like world. You know, like you got mm-hmm. to understand the characters and get to understand whatever. It didn't confuse you at all. I think the problem with this movie, it felt like it was like the third movie or something. Like, you were already supposed to know these people, who these people are, and already like, I get it if they want to like kind of, maybe they'll do a prequel or maybe they do a sequel, you know, right? That explains these things and kind of whatever, but don't do the prequel like later, you know, unless it's like, whatever, you need one that explains the whole, like, and the worst part is it's called Fire City. There was no, like, it was not a cool, you barely saw the city. It was like,
it looked like a regular city.
It looked like Los Angeles.
The fire was on a match.
Was it? I don't even remember that.
There was a, yeah.
A few times it was a match, he was trying to summon him.
Okay.
I was like, oh, there's the fire. Okay.
Okay, there's the fire city. Oh my goodness. It was sort of a boring, like, if this is the fire city, if that's what it's called, if that city is called Fire City, this is like the most boring thing, because all they did was show you the complex, you know? You didn't get to explore the city. Now, okay, first of all, they had a $200,000 budget. So with that in mind, I know how difficult it is. I just worked on a budget. It is not easy to make a movie on $200,000. That's, you know, and that has a lot of freaking prosthetics and makeup.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's where all the money mm-hmm. went to, really, is like the makeup. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Great makeup. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But the story is just kind of boring, you know, for that. I mean,
like, there was no development.
Yeah. So I was talking to Paul about it, because I was telling him about what we were, you know, what we were watching or whatever. And I kind of told him, I had a feeling I knew what he would rate this movie, you know? But I was, so I was talking to him about it, and I said, look, look at The Purge. Okay, that was made for $1 million, and that was set in the house, right? The first one was all set in the house. It was done really well. It was fantastic. But he goes, but that movie wasn't set to be a franchise. Like, that movie wasn't initially a franchise. I don't think they were planning to do The Purge 2 and Purge 3. You know, it's just they were just making a movie, and if it happened to be a hit, they would get sequels, you know. But then it became this franchise, and He thinks it got worse and worse as money came, you know, whatever. I like the Purge movies, but
I think they got better, and Election Year is the best one. Not to get off subject, but Election Year is my favorite one.
Well, there you
I've
go.
I've only seen the first one.
I've seen the first two, actually. So, whoa, that's funny. You've seen all of them, probably, Maddie, right?
I have seen all of them.
Yeah, I've seen the first two. She's seen the first one. I didn't watch the
TV show.
I don't. Is the TV show like? I mean, yeah, there's a TV show that was on like USA, which is the worst idea. Anyway, that is way off topic. But
I always get off topic.
Well, my point for bringing that up was that. This was intended always to be a franchise. What I read into and did some research on is the creators of the writers of it planned it to be a web series originally. And so they were going to do a web series, but then they were like, you know, why make a web series when we could just make this into a movie franchise? So they just made this into like, I guess they took probably elements of their pilot, all their stuff, and just put it into one movie, like feature length film. And the problem with it is it felt like it needed to be like a web series or something longer where like there was more characters drawn out. You got to know the characters a little bit more, because I feel like the problem with this movie is it focuses so much on Vine and what's going on there. That we kind of, after a while, we leave that. Like, I started losing interest in everything else going on, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how you guys felt, but that's how I felt. I, like, started concentrating. I mean, I lost interest in stuff. And they did take us out of the apartment complex for one scene, and I feel like. I think it was one scene. It was, like, where they went to, like, a club or whatever.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That scene was so ridiculous. Like some of the scenes almost only felt like I get it. Like apparently they were trying to tell him he was tampering with stuff and all that, but it just made absolutely like, why do we need to be in this club? Did they have the club for free? And they were just like, let's put it in here. Cause it felt really random.
That production scene. Value.
Yeah,
I'm thinking they just went to the basement, put a whole bunch of tarps and plastic tarps up, and then they just put in some lights and music, and they're like, okay, that's, we're gonna pretend it's the club, just put some tarps and curtains up and throw a chair here and get a DJ. Yeah,
well, the DJ DJ scene was pretty cool though. I like that. Like, I liked
he was quiet, he didn't have a talking part.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but he knew what he was doing.
But yeah, I honestly, story-wise, I to go back to that, I just think this movie, the problem with it is just sort of lacked keeping my interest in the story, you know? Like, I started just kind of, after a while, just zoning out, you know, because I, you know, I watched it, but it's just like, there wasn't enough substance, and I didn't care enough for the characters that... So I think, I guess we'll get into the writing later, but I think it was just sort of meh, you know, for that. And so what did you guys think of the story wise? You know, I don't want to, before we move on to something else.
Story wise, I'm sorry, Maddie, did you want to?
You go first. I was waiting for you or
me. Okay. Story wise, I had told Jonathan this earlier, it was original, you know, it was a little thought-provoking. Yeah, it lacked a lot of character development. It was really slow, kind of boring, and Vine did take your attention away from a lot of the other elements of the movie because they seem so focused on Vine, you know. And it's like, you're just trying to figure one thing out, and once you do, it just chops to another scene and you're like, what the hell just happened? It was a little choppy for me. You know, they kiss, it's like they were putting in fillers. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense, but fillers just to keep it at a certain length. Like those three brothers fighting or something. the fishmen.
Even though they're sort of one of my favorite parts, just because it was so ridiculous with them like arguing with each other, like, you know, I forgot what he said. He says like, this is the best, or I'm the best or something, you know, like, or whatever. Like they were just, he was just arguing after he, like, I guess he killed one, you know, like they started just killing each other. I was just like, thinking,
oh, I'm the one that talks around here. Or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, I say, I'm the one that talks. I laughed at that part. I'm like, oh my God.
I don't know if you're supposed to laugh or not, but all right.
Probably not supposed to, but.
Probably yeah. No. It's probably a serious moment for them. Yeah. But did they have to do that with the lips?
I heard somebody talk about it in the I watched a review of it after I finished with it, and somebody was saying that like that the lip scene just took them out, like all of a sudden, like, so bad, it was so bad, it just like ruined, you know, like that was the only part of the like makeup or whatever, because it was like CGI, you know, yeah. Or whatever. So
I'm the one that does the talking. Well, who's talking now? I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
It's perfect.
All right. So, Maddie, going back to you. So, do you agree? Or what do you think?
Oh yeah. I mean, first off, I'm not very much into like fantasy type movies, and when you sent me like that picture, I was like, I'm gonna hate this. I can just tell. These types of movies really aren't my cup of tea at all. So I kind of already had, but you know, I didn't hate it. Well, I mean, I guess I'm giving my whole review. As far as the story goes, it didn't interest me that much. I mean, I found parts interesting, but like, you know, she said it's just kind of choppy and a lot of times it's just kind of boring. I think they could have probably cut 20 minutes, at least 15 minutes out. Maybe made it run a little smoother.
It was a little long too. Like,
yeah, was I the only one relieved 40. When a commercial came on?
What?
Was I the only one that was relieved when it cut to commercial?
Oh yeah, the commercials were more interesting. But again, this wasn't my kind of thing. I, you know, the story didn't really interest me that much, and parts of it, I think they could have fleshed it out a little bit more, made it a little more interesting.
I do think it was a little long, and that kind of slowed down. There were some scenes that were kind of slow and not and kind of pointless, you know? Yeah. And that, I think that kind of kills a good movie, you know?
It can, definitely. Editing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Editing can save or, you know, break a movie for sure.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you have a flow going and it just, it breaks off and you're like, you have to catch up with your emotions.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Exactly. So let's talk about the actors and the characters real quick. Cause I mean, we talked about a good amount. I got to bring them up here. Cause I'm not, what is it? I don't know everybody's name offhand or whatever. And I definitely don't know how to pronounce Adam's, the guy who plays Adam, because his name was like
Bias Jelinek.
Yeah, Jelinek. Is that how you say it? I don't know.
That's a fun name, Jelinek.
Jelinek. But he was Atom, which is Atum Vine. And so, I guess because they didn't have like whoever did the closed captioning didn't have like his name up there, they kept calling him Adam, like the Adam. You know, but it was Atom.
Reminded me of Up and Atom.
Oh man, they missed a joke up there. Like,
yeah, they did. You know?
At least that would have been fun. So then there was Danielle C. Ryan. I think she was
Cornelius.
She was Cornelia. Or Cornelia. And, and she was Danielle Church Kirkren, which is really weird. Okay, so. She played the demon version, and then Mary Margaret Humes, who is most notable for being Dawson's mother in Dawson's Creek, played the human version of her.
I didn't recognize her.
I didn't either. Hmm. I saw in the credits and I was like, what? I was like, that was her?
Oh,
like,
I didn't stick around for the credits. I'm sorry.
I stuck around because just like me, I was thinking that they might have put a, you know, post-credits sequence or something.
I'm surprised they didn't.
I'm surprised they didn't either.
Oh, I'm the only one that didn't watch credits. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was like, I'm done. Click.
Yeah. You're like, I gotta get on the show and talk how bad it is. Then Keely Alona played Sarah, the little girl. And I thought she, like, I swear I thought she did a pretty good job. Like,
I thought she did.
Yeah, she was.
Yes, I thought so.
You know, especially at the end, toward the end. And once again, this is a show that does have spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, go see it on Tubi. You know, please. It's free. But it was good. I thought Keely did a fantastic job, especially toward the end where she played the sort of was the kind of the demon that, you know, it confused the fuck out of me because I think what I sort of understood, and tell me if you guys got this from the movie or you didn't, or I might be right and you guys just didn't notice it or didn't think about it. But what I thought they were mentioning was that the demon possessed her after she died or something. She like, cause
no,
what? Oh, what happened? God. No, go ahead.
I think because of the, if it's true form, the only way that it was able to show itself to Adam was to take on the form of the girl in order for him to like understand him and to listen. Because he was, because of his relationship with the girl.
By the way, you know what I mean? Michi, do you have an assistant who comes and brings you coffee or something? Because, like, that's awesome.
My husband.
Aww.
Thank you, baby.
I'm just like, I want that.
Did you see me do this earlier?
Where's my assistant? Anyway. That's really funny. All right. So,
but yeah.
Yeah, no, that, okay. Okay. I get it. All right. Now it makes more sense because it was very confusing. I was like, wait, did she die and this thing took over or something? And, or,
yes.
So,
yes and yes. Or, yes and no. She did die, but he took on her in her form in order for Vine to pay attention to what he or she it had to say.
Okay.
Because it was the beginning and end all of the balance.
Okay. Wow. This is the I feel like they've got way too much going on in the movie that it just becomes like too confusing, you know?
Yeah.
And they explain too much too. But all right, so go back to the cast. Then there's Kimberly Lehmans, who played Amber, who was the naked chick pretty much most of the time. She was like the prostitute who, I guess, you know, also demon, you know. And then there's Eric Edwards, who played Ford. Mm-hmm. Ford was like one of the three goofy demons.
Was he?
Yeah, there was Ford, Mace, and Hilo, I think, right?
Oh, I thought Ford was the warthog.
Oh, that's right. Ford was the warthog. Okay, so it was Mace, Hilo, and Trip, I guess, were the three weird, you know, guys or whatever, you know, who are all like, you know, I'll rip his heart out when he stops giving us the stuff we want, you know.
And I'm starving now.
Exactly. Then there's Mace, Hilo, and Trip. Mace was played by Simon Sorellis. Pile Kesey played Hilo, and Breon Davis played Trip. And so yeah, I mean, there was not much with those guys. Those guys were like three stooges, you know.
But they did them well.
Yeah, they did them
well. The entertainment of the movie.
Yeah.
Comic relief.
Yes. Which every movie needs, especially this one.
Absolutely. Because otherwise I would have been bored to death if they tried to make this completely serious. So Derek L. McMillan played Andre. And, you know, at first I didn't like him, of course, because, you know, he's there trying to rape an 11-year-old girl. That was really, that really got dark quickly in the movie. Yeah. That was like the first, like, 5 minutes. And I was
My first note was the, oh, hell no. That was my first note.
That's a good note. especially dealing with fucking Andre. But, and then I guess she told him to kill him. Or no, he told him to kill her, and it was just, you know, and then she ran away. But like, he made sure she was kind of like out of his sight, and then he was like, I ain't gonna do nothing to that girl. I was like, all right, whatever, weirdo. I don't know, like I don't know what the, what, was he gonna do something inside like the hallway of a, you know, like he was outside his room, you know, like that's just weird as shit. Nobody ever does anything like that.
Andre does,
apparently. So Kristen Minter played Jane. That was the mom. She was okay. Like, I mean, I feel like, I mean, her character kind of was there like maybe 5 scenes or something. And so I guess the first time we see her, she's like slapping her daughter and, you know, saying how much she, you know, thinks that her daughter's going to be kind of a, just like her, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was laying on the couch with bruises.
Yeah. And then the rest was like her at the, well, we'll get into that about the whole change and everything. Frank and Lisa. Frank was played by Harry Shum Jr. and Lisa was played by Jen Oda. Those were the two couple like the that were fighting each other, I guess. And then all of a sudden they're miraculously, you know.
Yeah. Like, they're like, I want to see the mom or whatever.
Haven't seen her in a year.
Yeah.
The most awkward scene is when Amber shows up. That was awkward as fuck for me. Like when she just starts getting naked and starts like table dancing, I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching?
You don't know how many times I wanted to message you that message I sent to you, Jonathan. Like, what in the heck, tarnation, are you having me watch?
I know.
It was so strange. It was like, oh my God. It was out of nowhere. She just like strips and then people are like, okay. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then my favorite shot in the whole movie was the shot like where the guy peers behind her ass. Like he's just like what?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
It's like, honey, are we supposed to do something right now? Okay.
I guess we're just gonna keep watching her. You know, like, and then she like starts making out with the girl and she's just like, okay, this is happening. So I was just, and I understand that it was like kind of a spell, you know, they were under a spell of like, no, all of that, you know, all of the misery is gone. So now they're just free. They're content. They're happy. There's nothing there, but like, there's still human beings, you know, like, I'm sorry, but like, even if you don't have misery, you can still kick a chick out if you don't want them stripping on your table. Like that's my opinion. I don't know. Whatever.
I know they haven't even finished dinner yet. Just food. you're all over my food.
My other favorite scene involves these two people, Kathy and Bob Burns in real life. I guess they're a married couple. Archie and Ruth, the old couple that
with
like
the cookies.
Yeah. You don't really see them much except for like that one scene where the guy knocks on the door and they're like, come in.
We have cookies. Not sponsored. We have cookies.
Oh my God. That was awkward as hell. Oh, like that scene. Oh.
Yeah, and they pulled him in. I was like, oh, okay.
They walked. Okay. I was like, what is going on over here? I think they need to go over to Frank and Lisa's house.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
I don't know. That might be too much.
You think?
For this movie? I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Bring
on the strippers.
All right. And then there's Tarkus. Who was Tarkus? I'm trying to remember which one that was.
I don't remember who half the characters were.
Was that the one gentleman? Remember when Andre and the girl were like, oh, okay, have a good day. I'm going to go find a job. And then he was that one random guy? Or was Tarkus the big gold demon dude in the club?
Anyway, he's a, he might be the demon guy. Because, I mean, he's a demon. I'm just trying to remember which demon. But it's got to be a demon because it's Tarkus. I mean, there's...
Yeah.
What human is named Tarkus? I mean...
You never know these days.
I'm going to name my child Tarkus. You know? but, all right. I don't remember him, but... So sorry, Connor Woodruff, who is, I guess, the director's kid or something. I don't know.
Gotta be.
Or a brother or some relative of some sort. So
or was
then,
Tarkus the one that knocked out Adam to bring him to the club?
Oh, that might be it. Okay. There you go. That's probably who Tarkus was. Then there was Maria Russell, who played Maria. I'm guessing they wrote her for that role, I'd hope. or just happened to like, because usually what you do in a movie is, and Maddie, you've worked on a few projects and stuff, and you've written stuff. You don't usually write somebody's name. So if you cast somebody, say you cast a guy named Tom, and you have a character named Tom, you usually want to rewrite the character name to not be Tom, because you don't want it to seem like, unless it's supposed to be themselves.
And yeah.
I don't think there's anybody who's playing themselves in this movie, you know? So I think either that was like a mess up or they wrote her for that role specifically.
Probably.
Robert Peters plays Bill. I don't know. Now this is getting to people. I had no idea who they are. Cause they're like, probably like, small characters. I'm gonna end there because it's like kind of characters who are just in the movie now.
Yeah,
you know, just kind of pop up or whatever. Which there are a lot of characters, you know, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, I like writing a lot of characters, but when it's one of these kind of movies where there's just too much already going on, you know, like it gets a little confusing, you know. All right, so we talked about cast. Let's talk about direction. So the director of the film is actually, and see, I told you about this before, Maddie, because you know, we just did a review of it, which will be out on Friday, woohoo, of Pumpkinhead, and the director is the guy who played Pumpkinhead. You know, so he was the one that who did that. Crazy. What?
That's crazy.
Right, I mean, good for him. He was able to make this movie, and you know, I guess I think he was in it since the beginning, because even though this came out in 2015, I think they've been working on this for like since 2010, and it just, you know, they were able to finally make it happen, which is amazing. You know, sometimes it takes a long time to get a movie like this off the ground.
Especially something like this, with so many effects. And I mean, they have so much story and the way they figure out how to do it.
Well, Tom Woodruff Jr. Also did special effects. So he was the lead animator on Alien Resurrection. He did special effects for Starship Troopers, Death Becomes Her, The Sixth Day. What else has he done? He's done
much good stuff.
I know.
I'll look that movies. Up. I love me some Death Becomes Her. So.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
Oh, yeah.
Death
Becomes Her is a classic. I have not seen that movie in so long. I need to rewatch it.
That's
same here. Anyway.
But I'll always remember the shotgun to the body and jump and just looking through it. It was crazy. But yeah, he had done this guy. Oh, he also was a creature designer for Godzilla vs. Kong. So dude's still out there. Yeah, he's still doing a lot of shit. He did the Predator creature effects for the new Predator movie. I mean, just dude is constantly still working out there. And he went out and made an independent film that, you know, they were hoping would become an independent franchise. And unfortunately, I mean, it was 2015 that it first that it came out. And I just, unless somehow they get the money to make another one, which I'd be more than willing to see it if it, you know, actually, I mean, like I said, I sort of want the DVD because I
there is another Fire City.
It's well, the short film.
Just the short film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the one I sent you guys, the short film. And it was okay. I mean, like, I could see that as a promo to get money, but the problem with it, it wasn't interesting enough, you know? Like, there wasn't enough with it that I, I honestly, I mean, I would probably, if I were an investor, I would have invested because of the creature effects. And the, you know, how, cause they, it looked good in the short. So like, if it's going to look good in the short, it's going to look damn good in the feature. So I would invest in the movie just because of that. And actually after seeing this movie, I mean, if I had money, if I had a company that was like looking for, you know, a movie to, you know, sink my teeth into, Fire City, the next one would be good, but it would have to be something like, I would have to tell them, like, they would have to do something where it explains everything that's going on in the, like, why are these demons here? You know, some more of that, you know, like more explanation of things, because I feel like that was the problem is you're already, you're kind of, as an audience member, you're watching this movie going, I don't know any of these characters. I don't know what's going on. All I know is like Adam's the leader kind of guy, the one everybody kind of turns to mainly for drugs, but
you know. Yeah.
Which I'm like, he's a drug dealer? Like for demons? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what do demons need drugs for? You know?
I mean, what do humans need drugs for?
Yeah, but demons, I thought they lived off of the misery. So I mean, what is he like supplying them misery? Like, what was their drug? You know, like, I don't know.
That's a question for the sequel to answer.
Yeah.
That ever happened.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, at the end, everything sort of turned back to normal in a way, you know, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that did. All the demons live again? I totally, like, I'm not remembering the ending right now, but did the demons come back to life?
No. No, they did not.
So is he the only demon?
No, there was. Oh, dang.
Yeah.
But the little girl was alive still. So I don't know. I got confused by the ending when, especially after you guys were talking about earlier.
What?
Because you had the triple fish guy, the warthog, the stripper, the oracle chick. Right, that's six of them right there.
Yeah.
Who else was there besides Vine?
Well, there's some characters like we went to the club, and so there were other. I guess there are other people. There's, you know, that Tarkus guy or whatever. So there.
Oh no, because in the newscast they were specific on that one building. And they said like five people had died.
Yeah.
And aside, and five people had died, and a man was missing, which happened to be Andre.
Okay.
Yeah. So the three fishmen, the Oracle, I'm just gonna call her Oracle. What's her name? Cornelia, which loved the makeup, and the Warhawk guy. So those five were pronounced dead on the news feed.
Okay.
But as far as like any other demons that were already living in the building, I would assume they're still alive.
Yeah, which I was kind of sad when he killed the Oracle. Like, I got it, you know, he had to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but like, I was kind of sad. I was like, I like that chick, you know. Like,
love the way it happened though.
I did too.
Was pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, especially when she kept trying, even with it, and the little girl's like, "What do you stop? You know, stop it, Vine." You know, because he was like, you know, and I was just like, that's so cool. Like, it's just going right through the heart and continue. The knife keeps going, you know. And, I mean, she tried to save the those demons, I guess. But like, I mean, that's what I thought the whole point was, right? I thought that she was, I guess it was that one building, right? You know, that mm-hmm. all had the misery. So all of them are going to die because they did not have the misery, you know, or whatever. But then now I'm thinking about it. Why didn't they just go out into the world?
There's more misery. Yeah. Because
there was a group of demons. They each had their own leader in each group. As to where Tarkus was part of a group that were led by somebody. Vine was leading that group in the building, and each of that group, the leader was responsible for their misery.
You got
he had to keep the balance.
From this movie. Holy cow. I
don't think of the same thing. Yeah. You got a lot out of this movie, and I was just like, oh, what? Okay.
Take notes. Rita, you know this.
That's the way to do it. I mean, no, Michi's good because she will, like, all the stuff that we've done, whenever I do reviews with her, she's absolutely 100% always knowing more than about the movie than I can
gather from it. I see that.
It's good. We need that now you explained a lot more shit. I'll be so confused to the point where I don't know, you know, like I keep watching it going, okay, is this like, am I gonna see something more or what's gonna happen? And then, you know, yeah,
because misery was global, was worldwide. And like I said, there was a group and each group had a leader and they were responsible for their group's misery. And their group, Vine's group, he was responsible for that misery in that building. Therefore, that's why they had that protective unit around that building. That no one can leave until that balance was set back into that building.
There you go.
Because it was all down to Vine. And Vine was the centerpiece for all of the global misery. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just had to break that.
He had to break it. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
He broke it by ripping out the heart, you know, and stabbing it.
Epic. I'm sorry, but that was epic.
That was
badass. Like, probably really one of the best scenes in the movie. And then he talks to the girl, you know, the girl's missing, and then talks to her and she's like, what the fuck? And then everything's back to like, everybody else is back to like, whatever. And Vine is now like taking care of the little girl, like, you know, helping her out or whatever. And the mother, is now, I guess, in meetings and stuff. So I guess it's got a good message, you know.
Yeah.
But like me and Maddie are like those kind of people who didn't get it most of the time, you know. Like I guess we need people to like explain this shit to us because there's just you know, there's just too much going on. Yeah.
Oh, get yourself a good note taker.
Yeah. Next time I watch fantasy type movie like this.
Yeah, she's going to call you up and be like,
oh. No, but I did have a lot of questions written down. And then
okay, I want to hear the questions you had.
It's like, why did he allow the girl to see him in his true form after he touched her? Because no one can see a demon unless they have been touched, like Maria. Remember, she couldn't see the card unless she was touched. So why did he allow Sarah to see him? Did I miss something?
Maybe. No, I think that's the consciousness. I think that's his conscience. You know, he started to kind of care for people and he wanted her to see his true form.
Okay.
Because that's what I got from a lot of these reviews that's, you know, they're on IMDb. A lot of them were very shocked to see like the idea of like a demon with a conscience kind of thing. Mm. Like they got it. They got that. They liked that. That was what they enjoyed. Most of the time they said like stuff like the first 15 minutes are very weird and, you know, you don't really understand what the fuck is going on. And then it slowly explains itself. Well, the problem is what they kind of tell you in like, from what I've understood from like film classes and everything is if you're going to write a movie, you know, explain everything as much as you can in the first 10 minutes of the movie, because if people start checking out, you know, then they're gonna want to watch something else. And this day and age is the worst for that.
Yeah,
because
attention span,
and also too much content out there. Tubi has so many movies. Somebody watches that for the first time, 15 minutes, and they don't know what the fuck's going on. They're going, I'm going to watch something else. You know, 10, 15 minutes. They're checking. You know, if you don't explain yourself, you might be fucked. You know, so
I agree. And they're going to associate certain actors with that movie. And they're like, oh, well, I saw the way it was last time. I don't want to see that. Or the director or whatever. And they're not going to want to watch anything. So you have to capture your audience.
Exactly.
But I stuck through it because, you know, I have to do this. But at the end, I was kind of glad I did watch it.
That was the same thing. We just, Paul and I just did a review for Blue Cheese. And it was like, honestly, if we had just watched the first 15 minutes of the movie, like on ourselves, we would have stopped, you know, because we just, you know, weren't into it. But we watched the whole thing and we hated it. But the point was, you know, that, you know, at least we watched the whole thing because we reviewed it, you know, had to review it. And that's kind of, I mean, I didn't hate this movie. By no means did I hate this movie. I didn't find it to be that, you know, I felt like there was too much confusing stuff in it to make it, you know, to make it a good movie or not. But we didn't talk about, well, we talked a little bit. I mean, in a way, roundabout way, we talked about the writing a lot. Like I said, these guys that wrote it planned, let me look up their names real quick so I can, Michael Hayes and Brian Lubacki. They both wrote this movie together as a web series originally. And as I take it, I think either they just started from scratch and created a whole new thing and took like concepts or whatever, or they literally took the whole web series and just made it. Because web series are generally about 5 to 10 minute episodes, you know, or whatever. They might have just took the whole web series and said, let's just make this into a feature. And that sort of makes sense in a way, but in the same sense, it was terrible, you know, because like if this was the web series and they stopped every 15 minutes, I would have been bored, or 10 minutes, whatever it was, you know, like I would have been bored by this movie. So, or web series. So I don't know. I don't know which way they did it. But I think honestly, it was a little bit too confusing as writing. I feel like they kind of, I don't know, you know, what do you guys think? Same thing? Or do you guys like the writing in it? Anyone? Michi.
Well, it's like what Maddie said earlier. It was very choppy, which I agree. The storyline was choppy. The editing was choppy. From one scene to another was choppy. Their dialogue was choppy.
So okay? It was choppy.
Pretty much. Samurai that shit, okay? It's like, come on, I made sushi. I've chopped sushi better than this. But, sorry. I eventually got the concept and I got what they were trying to bring across as far as the storyline, but getting to it was really painful.
Yeah.
It really was painful because it's like, do I hold my breath? Nope, I'm not holding my breath. Why is she on the table? Oh Lord, she gave me a full frontal. You know? And I had to look away. I looked at my son-in-law and he was just like
Your son-in-law enjoyed that, huh?
I was like, oh my God, I'm like, let me know when it's done. And I just kept looking at him, like I couldn't tear my eyes away. It was like a disaster, but you knew something was coming. And there were just some scenes that just did not need to be in there.
Uh-huh.
All she had to say was, I strip for money. I have sex for money. But no, she goes and just like bloop and
Well, there you go.
She did the bloop and if you ever want to describe that. But
that's a good way to describe.
I got the concept. I liked the concept, the originality of it. It was the way they did it was just not something to cheer for.
Exactly. Do you agree, Manny, or what do you think?
I mean, I pretty much agree. I just think that the concept was interesting and different. I love that the world that they were trying to create, I think they had all the right intentions, but I just think they didn't go about it the right way. And it was very just all over the place for me. I think the writing could have, they could have sat down and kind of worked on made the story a bit tighter and, like you said, make more sense, you know, kind of introduce different characters a bit better. And I don't know, they could have done a lot of things differently.
Definitely. All right. So special effects and makeup are amazing. I don't think we talked about that enough. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably the savior of the movie, was just all the makeup, except for the CGI mouth and shit, you know.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I think like most of the makeup and effects were pretty awesome. And I think, like we said, editing was pretty bad. The direction was okay. I mean, kind of mediocre, not very, you know. And all in all, the movie was okay, you know, or whatever, you know, like not terrible, you know. But I guess, you know what, this is the perfect time to go into our review. Okay. So now that we've all talked about it pretty much, and it's almost at that hour mark anyway.
Already?
I don't, like, it went by pretty quickly, I'll just say.
Yeah. Yes, it did. Always does.
Always does.
I wish the movie did.
Yeah, this goes by a lot quicker than the movie.
That is true. That is true. Oh, my goodness. And when you watch it with Tubi, it goes even longer because the commercials.
Yeah.
Yay,
but commercials. The commercials are a good distraction.
No, but see, I wanted it to be done, like, honestly. I'm just like, can we stop the commercials? Like, but so, all right. So anyway, let's go to our review here. So for people at home who are not, I don't know why you'd be listening to this particular one, like, you know, if you haven't listened to all the rest of our shows, but, well, here's the review idea. We do a 10-point system. Basically, 1 is a pretty good movie and 10 is a pretty stinky movie. It's called a stinkometer. And we can also give like a 0.5 if you think that something is, you know, half or whatever. And so I'm going to just start it all off. Usually sometimes I ask the guests, but I don't know which one to ask right now. So I'm going to start it off by saying I'm going to give it a 5. I don't think it was terrible. That was originally my plan, was to give it a 5. And you guys have not convinced me either or, you know, like, you know, for it or against it, you know, for a 5. So I think it's kind of mediocre. It's not terrible to the point where I would not, you know, I would love to get the DVD and listen to the commentary track, because I've heard it's very technical and explains a lot more shit. And I kind of feel like a movie like that neat. And it has 2 commentary tracks. So I'm wondering if they could not explain enough in the first commentary track.
Nope.
They had to use a second one. So kind of excited for that. I want to get the DVD at some point just to listen to the commentary tracks and stuff. And plus to support independent film, because you know what? They went out $200,000, made a movie. Fucking kudos to them. I just felt like it was a 5. And I'm sorry, Pumpkinhead, don't come after me. Michi, what do you rate it?
I am actually going to give it, because you said that 10 is worse, 1 is better, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would give it like a 4.
A
maybe
4?
A 4.5, yeah. Because of 1, the originality. 2, it's a good stepping stone for those who would like to learn a little bit on what to do and what not to do.
What not to do,
especially. What not to do. And I love the makeup and the, you know, the, so are you, the costumes.
Are you going with a 4 or 4.5?
I'll go with a 4.5.
Okay, so 4.5 and a 5. What's your rating, Maddie? I know this was definitely not your cup of tea to begin with, you know, so please enlighten us.
Honestly, I was thinking of a 5.2 just because I think I had so much passion behind it and everything. I mean, you can just see that on screen, like they were so passionate about the story and everything. And like we already said, the effects were great. I honestly think the acting was pretty good. I think the guy who played Vine did a good job and the little girl. So, I mean, I think it's mediocre. And I think for people who like fantasy horror type stuff like this, could enjoy it. And I kind of wish that they could finish their saga too with more movies, because they might not be for me, but I wish that they could, you know, continue exploring that world, and it might get better with each film. So,
right.
Yeah, I would say a 5.
Yeah. Remember, you said that The Purge, you know, got better and better. Maybe this would get better and better. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Especially if you got more money. For what they had, I mean, like I said, $200,000 is not that much money.
No,
especially when you're making a movie in LA. Holy cow. You know, so
for $200,000, this looks like they spent more just because of the effects alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They made good use of their budget. Very good use.
I'm guessing because he is a makeup guy, he was able to like get good deals or whatever or whatnot, or he didn't. I don't think he did the makeup effects, which would make like that. I feel like that would be too much, you know, to direct and do makeup. But I'm sure, you know, that's the case. So, anywho, all right. So you give it a 5. I give it a 5 and a 4.5. It's actually not that bad. I mean, that's you know, that's decent for these kind of movies. It's funny because I hadn't seen it, so I didn't know whether or not, but when I was watching it, like halfway through, I was like, I'm going to give this a 5, most likely, like, unless something completely different happens, either one way or the other, you know, it gets really bad or it gets really good, you know, out of nowhere. I was going to stick
with it. Just got really.
Yeah,
exactly. Just that's why I stayed a 5.
It stayed a 5 because it was just kind of static, just like it said, status quo, you know, in the movie. It just stayed the same, and it's kind of boring, you know, in a way of that, because, you know, like I was just kind of hoping something fun would happen. And if the Three Stooges hadn't been in the movie, I almost think this movie would have gone down lower. I think they saved the film a little bit, because they started making me laugh enough where I'm like, all right, I can continue watching, you know, because Vine is such a serious character, which I loved, you know, he's a good actor. He's a good character. I mean, you cared about him, about the little girl. You know, I didn't care about Andre and how he disappeared and shit.
No.
Or whatever.
Like, no.
I don't know.
Me neither.
But then at the end, real quick, at the end, kind of, he decides he's going to go off and explore, I guess, another town or something or whatever, or another part of town.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. And I think, was he going to look for Andre, or was he, what was the point of that? I forgot. Like,
I honestly don't know. I just remember he was going to fly away.
Yeah. He flew away. We got to see him fly away, which was pretty bad CGI, but, you know,
oh my god, the wings. We didn't talk about the wings.
Yeah. The wings were pretty bad, but you know what? That's why they didn't use them much, I don't think.
Exactly.
They were like, because they told, like, my favorite part is she says something about his wings or whatever, and you're, can you fly? And he's like, yeah, I can fly. And I'm like, you can? I haven't seen that, you know.
Saving that for the sequel. Sorry.
Yeah. Maybe if they had, like, maybe they would double their budget or triple their budget and they can make a damn good movie. So, all in all, if there's a production company out there that has $1 million to, you know, and wants to invest in a good story world, I would suggest Fire City. Honestly, I think that these guys, you know, regardless of whether or not I thought this movie was great or bad or whatever, this was an interesting world, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that they should explore graphic novels or something like that, comic books, try to expand in that way, and then maybe they can come back to their story in the future.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Comic books, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think this would make, I don't really read comic books. I don't get it, but I can totally see it as one. Yeah, I could see people getting into the world that they create if they were really able to take their time and expand, and I think that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. I absolutely. And I love comic books, and I love fantasy. I love Game of Thrones. I love, you know,
I like Neverending Story. That's my fantasy love.
Yes, that's a classic as well, you know. Yes. So there you go. But you know, and this had horror elements to it. I mean, it wasn't very scary or anything, but it was more along the lines of like demons. Gore. And it was it's more PG-13 except for the nudity. Like if the nudity wasn't there, I'd almost think it was PG-13 because there was no actual, like, I don't think there was any cursing in the movie.
Not really.
And there's barely any violence. Like, you know, violence just happened at the
Maria.
End.
Poor Maria.
Poor Maria and was it the and the heart, you know, the heart, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah. So aside from all that, yeah. So anywho, yes, I felt like this movie deserves a bigger budget. And I feel like, you know, I feel like it might have suffered for that. You know, I think that's why they had to make do with what they had. And I feel like maybe that's why a lot of shit was choppy. But with that being said, if you guys can check out, we will leave a link, you know, below for you guys to check out this movie. It's on Tubi, or you can buy it on Amazon. I mean, we love to support these movies. Even if we don't like it, we still tell you to go see it, you know, because that's, you know, just because we don't like something doesn't mean you're not going to love it. And from the reviews, I don't think these are all people that they know that's doing the reviews. Some people just seem to like stumble upon this and said, it's pretty decent. You know, they like it for what it is. But I guess that's it for the show. I want to thank you guys so much for coming on tonight. We'll be back again in 2 weeks with Paul's episode. I have no idea what he has in store for us. So
he's, good luck.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to need it. But he especially if I find something that's like mediocre, he wants to make it. He wants to go stinky on the next one, you know. He doesn't want to. So he'll find us something. I'm pretty sure.
I can't wait to watch it after you guys see it.
Definitely. Well, thank you two so much. It was wonderful having you guys on. Please stick around, and everybody else, thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Tune in 2 weeks, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.